about 4 years ago, I started looking at the art of fugue carefully, and from the get-go realized that this was a very unusual piece. I began to be drawn into it, wondering whether I could overcome the essential problem of thinking about the entire unity of the piece and the diversity within it.
Pianist Andrew Rangel has been known as an insightful interpreter of J.S. Bach's music since the 1980s. But it was only in 2012 that he released a recording of one of Bach's last and greatest masterpieces, The Art of Fugue. You'll hear Andrew Rangel's thoughts about the piece and his performance coming up on the Bach Hour. Hello, I'm Brian McCreath. Welcome to the Bach Hour from 99.5 WCRB Classical New England. We're a part of WGBH. There is no question that J.S. Bach was one of history's greatest geniuses, but Bach's music doesn't play itself. It takes a perceptive, sensitive, and inquisitive person to bring the music to life. Andrew Rangel is just such a person, and you'll meet him later on in the hour. First, though, we'll turn to a masterpiece of a very different kind, Bach's setting of the Magnificat, for which you'll find a translation when you visit us online at classicalnewengland.org. Throughout his musical life, Bach was a composer who both revered tradition and broke new ground. Those dual impulses led to his setting of Magnificat. The Song of Mary was a staple of the Christmas season and other feast days in Leipzig. Its text is based on words attributed to the Virgin Mary upon encountering her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. In 1723, as the new music director for the town, Bach wanted to continue the legacy of his predecessors. But he also wanted to give his new audience an experience like none they had had before. Magnificat was Bach's first five-part choral piece, with several verses for solos, duos, and trios that are deeply and richly reflective of this bedrock Christian text. From its opening line, "My soul magnifies the Lord," the perspective is that of one individual's unwavering devotion to and trust in the divine. In just one of many examples of the symbolism Bach embedded in the piece, the third movement is a beautifully melancholic soprano solo, expressing Mary's spirit of humility with the words, "He has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden." As she sings, "Behold, henceforth I will be called blessed," the next part of the sentence, the words, "by all generations," is suddenly taken up by the entire chorus. It's a sonic picture of the countless generations of believers who followed Mary through the centuries. In another reflection of the text, the brilliant opening music returns at the end for the words, "as it was in the beginning, is now and forever." If you'd like to see a translation of Magnificat from Boston's Emmanuel Music, just visit us online at classicalnewengland.org. Here is Bach's Magnificat with soprano Tamara Matthews, mezzo-soprano Deanne Meek, alto Mary Phillips, tenor Don Frazier, and bass Stephen Powell. They're joined by the chorus and orchestra of Boston Baroque and director Martin Perlman here on the Bach Hour. Thank you.
Thank you. Sanctum nomen Thank you.
Magnificat, Bach's setting of the Song of Mary in a performance by Boston Baroque and director Martin Perlman. The soloists included soprano Tamara Matthews, mezzo-soprano Deanne Meek, alto Mary Phillips, tenor Don Frazier, and bass Stephen Powell. Pianist Andrew Rangel first came to public attention in the 1980s as a young but deeply insightful interpreter of music by Bach and Beethoven, especially through a highly acclaimed accounting of Bach's Goldberg Variations. But it wasn't until 2012 that Andrew Rangel released a recording of The Art of Fugue, one of the very last works Bach wrote, and one that was left unfinished. He says that once he took on this set of fugues and canons, the challenges were different from any he had experienced before in Bach's music.
My journey through Bach went through performing and recording much of the standard repertoire with Bach, which is very challenging and very rewarding. And about 4 years ago, wanting a kind of place to exist, a kind of refuge, a kind of nourishment, and being aware that the Art of Fugue was an area that I had not really examined, I started looking at it carefully and from the get-go realized that this was a very unusual piece. And I began to be drawn into it, wondering whether I could overcome the essential problem of thinking about the entire unity of the piece and the diversity within it, which is the fundamental problem of how to characterize the 18 pieces, 14 of them fugues and 4 of them canons, in a meaningful way that I could do with the confidence that I had something unique or personal to say with this piece. And it wasn't until essentially after 3 years that I said to myself, I feel that I want to do this now and I'm ready to do it.
Thank you.
And so to dive in with each of these pieces, you used the word affect before, and just to sort of flesh that out, it's the character, it's what you're saying in each particular piece. What tools do you use to say, in this particular contrapuntas, as they're known, this is the affect I want? What tools do you use to come to that conclusion?
With Bach, we have certain things to go by that are sometimes explicit and sometimes in a kind of context. And apart from the Art of Fugue, when you look at Bach and you look at certain things in a concerto form and see what the tradition is there and what the realities of that presentation or the suites, where there are general parameters for all of the essential movements of a suite. When you look at his more abstract works, the Preludes and Fugues, for instance, the key has to do with the nature of a fugue subject and the treatment of that fugue subject. The Preludes and Fugues have an amazing degree of malleability. The Art of Fugue is a yet more abstract piece in the sense that the things that that separate one fugue from another are fewer. I mean, the thematic material remains the same, the key remains the same, the texture remains the same, and yet you notice many things that are subtle and not so subtle. And just to go to a very obvious example, when you get to Fugue 9, this is a little bit later on in the piece where Bach takes the liberty to begin by introducing material not heard before. And the opening theme in this, it seems to have a character of some propulsion. What Bach does is he eventually reintroduces material that has been known from the beginning in a slower way, and that blend is an astonishing change from anything we have heard before. But the character of the piece is really determined by the opening of that fugal subject, which is very much unlike anything we have heard.
Thank you. one particular part of this piece must come down simply to your personal imagination, and that is the last note. Because this piece was left unfinished, a fugue is chugging along and yet stops cold. Tell me how you thought through how you wanted to end this piece.
Not only the fact that this final fugue is unfinished, but even the way it is unfinished is kind of a breathtaking and shocking thing in terms of Bach's own life. Part of its advertisement was that the great master expired before he could complete the final fugue, and in effect left the stage of the earth, even, you know, even as he left the stage of this amazing drama that he had created. In any case, what we have does end, so to speak, in mid-sentence. So do you make an artificial kind of preparation? Do you treat the final note as an intended conclusion and therefore present it in a musical way? That would be, to me, something that's not justified and that's artificial. However, it has to be said that that is one's sort of built-in musical impulse. You come to an end and you kind of in some way have to fight hard against the instinct to shape it in some way, to bring attention to it, in fact, as the final note. So actually in recording this piece, I had to do a number of takes of just the ending measures to try to play it in such a way that the material was audible and not exactly just sort of thrown away at the end, but neither was it heightened in any particular way. So I wanted to preserve just a kind of mid-sentence cessation. And I hope I did that, but it's a funny problem to have, actually.
Thank you.
a startling finality to the unfinished last piece of J.S. Bach's The Art of Fugue, performed here by pianist Andrew Rangel. If you'd like to hear more of my conversation with Andrew Rangel and to hear this program again, visit us online at classicalnewengland.org. Thank you for joining me today, and thanks also to Andrew Rangel and to audio engineer Antonio Oliart-Ross. The executive producer of this program is Benjamin K. Rowe, Managing Director for Classical Services at WGBH. I'm Brian McCreath, and I'll hope to have your company again next week here on The Bach Hour.